Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Welcome to another exciting edition of The Thought Police, the only podcast you'll ever need. With me, Mike Graham, and him,
Donald Trump.
Donald Trump's here. Kamala Harris is not here, unfortunately. She had to go back to sleep.
Yeah, she's descended into a pit of despair.
Yeah, alongside Sleepy Joe Biden, who curiously looks very fucking happy, by the way. And here's the theory. The theory is that he looks happy because he was stitched up by Kamala Harris, stitched up by Nancy Pelosi. He didn't want to fucking step down, and he was fucking glad that she failed.
Absolutely. Make no mistake, Joe Biden has got the result he passionately wanted.
Yeah.
He desperately wanted this to happen. Because, you know, he would have lost because he's fucked in the head.
Right.
But they fucked him over really, really badly.
But do you know what? He wouldn't have lost by as big of a margin. And he might actually somehow have... Because even looking at it, there's not much in it. Even though it looks like, you know, Trump has swept everything to the, you know, to one side, it's still only like 51-49.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, but what they say is that definitely Joe Biden would have lost, but he would have hung on to more of the working class folk, more of the blue collar workers would have voted for him. But she, of course, alienated all of blue collar America.
Yeah.
And Bernie Sanders, that veteran liberal loony representative of Vermont, but he hit the nail on the head. He said, "Why did the Democrats lose?"
Yeah.
He said, "This is why." He said, "Because the Democrats abandoned the working class, so the working class abandoned them." Kamala Harris did not speak to middle America, did not speak to working class America. She spoke to a load of fucking weirdo wokies on the West Coast, and
because that's her life. Her kind of, and her manner is California, San Francisco, which is particularly bad. And that's, again, somebody said to me this week, it's their sort of Corbyn moment, because they went that far to the left that they lost. You remember in 2019 when Corbyn was running up against Boris Johnson, and the only fucking constituency they won was fucking Putney, you know, in
that's
West London,
right, that's right?
The only constituency which was full of champagne socialists, no working class people at all. They lost Scotland, they lost the fucking north of England, and, you know, it's taken until now for them to get it back.
Yeah, and the parallels between the Democrats and the Labour Party over here, or put it this way, the parallels between Kamala Harris's Democrat party and the Labour Party over here were uncanny.
Yeah.
You know, these people who originally were for the working man and woman and have progressed more and more towards fashionable elitism, ludicrous woke policies. I mean, how the fuck do you think that people in the Rust Belt felt about Kamala's policy for the nation, for the state, for the taxpayer, to fund male prisoners, trans surgery.
I know.
The taxpayers. Right. But how the fuck do you think
and
they
also
thought
Tim
about...
And also Tim Walz, who was the worst all time.
What
I mean,
cunt.
The only chance that she would have had was if she had got that guy Shapiro in Pennsylvania, the governor of Pennsylvania. But she didn't pick him. Why? Because he's Jewish. Right? And she was worried that the people in her party, the crazed leftists, would be too pro-Palestine to say, "Oh, you can't have anybody Jewish on the ticket. That's fucking nightmarish. So instead she picks this guy, Tim Walz, who's a superannuated fucking school teacher, right? Who wanted to fucking defund the police in Minneapolis, and who also made sure that when he was governor of Minnesota, they put fucking tampon machines in the boys' toilets of every school. in fucking Minnesota.
Yeah. They call him Tampon Tim. He sold him. He tried to sell himself as America's dad. A straight up middle American guy.
Yeah.
But in fact, he was a fucking crazed wokey who, as you say,
and a liar,
put tampons into schoolboys' fucking loos.
And I mean, also, he's a fucking liar, right? This is a guy who said he was at Tiananmen Square when he was nowhere near fucking Tiananmen Square, and he was actually in Hong Kong, and then he went. When he was challenged on it, they said, how did you not manage to remember that you were actually not in Tiananmen Square? And he was like, oh, I misspoke.
That
you fucking didn't. You fucking lied.
Yeah. He's also the guy, as you say, he supported defunding the police after George Floyd was killed. And here's another fucking lie, right? So a lot of us just said, Jesus Christ. This fucking idiot, all he was a high school football coach. Right. That was the dizzy heights he rose to in his profession. Wrong.
Mm.
He was an assistant football coach. He never made it to be actual football coach. He was, I mean, Kamala Harris, an absolute moron, total empty vessel.
Yes.
He wasn't even an empty vessel. He was barely there.
Yeah.
Fucking idiot. And you're right, Mike. There's another uncanny parallel between the Democrats and the Labour Party. The Democrats have got a big anti-Semitism problem.
Yes.
And she, the stupid cow, went with that flow and picked the non-Jew. Josh Shapiro, governor of Pennsylvania, would have carried Pennsylvania and the candidate that wins Pennsylvania wins the election every single fucking time.
Right.
Josh Shapiro retained something like a 70% popularity. Yeah. She was too scared to offend the anti-Semites in the Democrat Party, so she picked that fuckwit Tim fucking Last Waltz.
Yeah.
And at that point, she pretty much lost the election.
Yeah, absolutely right. But I think she lost the election from the minute that she got fucking nominated, because that was the high point. You know, as soon as she got nominated, suddenly it was like, oh my God, it's not Joe Biden. We might be able to vote for this woman. But as soon as she started talking, as soon as she started not answering questions, fucking up interviews, you know, once the debate had happened, which everybody agreed that she won because Trump wasn't really quite sure how to deal with it, right? But he learned from that. She just went further and further downhill. And by the time it got to fucking, the so-called late surge on the weekend, nobody really believed it. I didn't really believe it. I never thought she would win. I never thought she could win. And I always knew that Trump was doing far better than anybody knew. And look at the fucking state of the media, right? You've got...
disgrace. The pollsters.
Yeah, and the pollsters. Sake. But the American media in particular, you know, CBS, who are now being sued by Donald Trump for $100 million, changing the fucking answer to a question that she gave, editing it, and then putting it out as if that was the real answer that she gave. Complete and utter fucking dishonesty from them. And then CNN, who were completely and utterly fucking useless because they didn't want to cover the fact that she was getting fucked. One fantastic clip, I don't know if you've seen it, is of CNN with the sort of, as the votes are coming in, this would have been on Tuesday night, quite late on, and they had the whole map in front of them, the interactive map, and they went, and now we can show you the places where Kamala is doing better than the Democrats did in 2020, and the map comes up, and there's literally nothing on it. The guy goes, I think it's Jake Tapper.
That's right.
And he goes, what, there's not one county? And they're like, no, she's got nothing going on. Literally nowhere did she do better than 2012.
Also, that Jake Tapper, his face throughout the coverage fell further and further. And when Georgia went to Donald Trump, which was the moment. You, of course, were covering that. That must have been when you knew.
Well, you see, the funny thing was that all the way through the night, and up to about 3-4 o'clock, all the Democrats that we got on were saying, just wait and see, because the votes are going to come in later. Because don't worry, and particularly in Georgia, when they count Atlanta, that all the sort of, you know, city votes will go for Kamala. Yeah. And it didn't fucking happen.
Of course they didn't. But when Jake Tapper went to Georgia to their CNN reporter, and they said, hey Jeff, Jake here at CNN HQ here in Atlanta. You're in Georgia. The count's finished. Is it good news? The guy goes, well, it is if you're a Trump supporter. And fucking Tapper's face just absolutely.
I mean, what's happened to journalism? What's happened? You know, we're quite unashamedly Trump supporters. Yep. We like Trump, but nevertheless, you know, we don't talk about, you know, events as if You know, if it goes the wrong way and somehow, you know, Kamala Harris wins, that we're all going to be in despair. I wouldn't be in fucking despair. I might think it's not the best fucking result for us, but I would still have a reasonable amount of fucking professionalism about it. But over in America, they seem to have forgotten about all of that.
Well, the thing is that CNN and MSNBC, yeah. MSNBC, who did a report comparing the Nuremberg rally to Donald Trump's Madison Square Garden rally. Absolutely fucking outrageous.
And they also compared it, did they not, to some event that happened in the 30s.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying.
Not in Nuremberg, but in New York. Yeah. They were in fucking Madison Square Garden.
That's right. Yeah, gotcha. Yeah, you know, basically saying Donald Trump's a Nazi, and so are all his reporters. Well, the thing about us, we, you know, we work on tour. We don't fucking pretend. Yeah, I'm biased. I'm biased towards the right. I don't like Labour. I don't like socialists.
Right.
I don't like fucking lefties.
We didn't like the Tories.
I don't like net zero. I think all of those things are the product of crazed left-wing minds who are going to make this country and the world a fuck sight worse. And you and I and most of our colleagues here make no secret of that. The problem with CNN and MSNBC and indeed the main networks and over here, the BBC, ITV, Channel 4, they all pretend they're not biased.
Right.
And that is much worse than what we do.
It is.
Pretending you're not biased when you're fucking so prejudiced it hurts is a disgrace and a scandal to journalism.
Well, my favourite sort of, you know, pissed off lefty journalist types were all those cunts of great news agents, you know, fucking Emily Maitlis, Lewis Goodall,
news cunts.
John Sopel, and then of course those other wankers, Rory Stewart and fucking Alistair
fucking
Campbell.
Fucking Stewart.
What a pair of cunts they are. Yeah. You know, Alistair Campbell's face was like a fucking hatchet. And Rory Stewart, the man who was telling us all before
that Cameron will win comfortably.
We were all wrong. Big tweet. He also said it. There was a couple of times he was being asked a question while he was walking around the streets. People, they're frightened to say that Trump's going to lose big because of the fact that they're all like a herd. They all say the same thing. I can tell you. He made out like he had some kind of inside information. That he put £100,000 bet on, apparently, to say that Kamala Harris is going to win big. He said, mark my words, you'll all be eating humble pie. And then there's this great fucking fantastic clip of him just saying, I got it wrong. But he didn't get it wrong because he was wrong. He said he got it wrong because apparently he was an optimist. He said, the reason I got it wrong was because I hoped that Kamala would win.
In other words,
well, you've still got it wrong.
That's not journalism. That's converting your wishes and desires into some kind of weird fact.
Right.
And he said that I refuse to get things right on the back of pessimism.
Right.
You fucking cunt.
Pompous little cunt.
Useless fucking cunt.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say what their fucking useless podcast is, but if you want more of that incisive political brilliance, tune in to Alistair and Rory.
Yeah.
Wankers. No nothing wankers. And you know why?
Maybe that's what they should call the podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
No nothing wankers.
Of course, millions of people listen to it because they've all drunk the lefty Kool-Aid.
But this is the
thing
that worries me. I mean, I watched Question Time last night.
Right? I did too.
From Hartlepool. And I was just saying to the guys in the office here, I still couldn't believe the fucking audience. I mean, Hartlepool is one of the main centres for reform. Yeah. It's one of the main centres for right-wing, you know,
red
wall fucking voters who used to vote Labour, proper working people who now vote for reform, love fucking Nigel Farage, love Brexit. They managed to find, in the BBC fucking audience, an entire audience of Trump haters.
Yeah,
I don't know how they managed that.
Well, hey, got everybody listen, if you go to my timeline on Twitter or X or whatever the fuck they're calling it today, at TV Kev, you'll see what I tweeted last night.
Yeah.
And it was this, you know, something like more evidence that the BBC goes to the ends of the earth to make sure that Question Time studio audience represent a wide range of views.
Yes.
So Fiona Bruce, you might have seen this moment, she turns to the audience, there's about 150 people in it, and she goes, let's take a straw poll. How many of you think that Donald Trump's electoral victory is a good thing?
Yeah.
Two hands. As you say, in fucking Hartlepool, fucking BBC, you are bent as a fucking nine-bob note.
I mean, you can understand if it was fucking Putney, where Labour won back in 2019, which is full of champagne socialists, people that listen to fucking James O'Brien, and they'd all be fucking Trump haters, but not fucking Hartlepool. No chance.
Yeah.
I mean, it's absolutely incredible.
Yeah, it's outrageous. It's fucking outrageous. It's trying to bend the truth, trying to get everybody to think the way the BBC thinks in groupthink style. Listen, here's another thing, right? Donald Trump's fantastic victory, as you quite rightly said. Oh, just before we get to that, you know why you and I knew that Trump would win? I always said he'd win big. Yeah. I must admit I had a wobble towards the end because I started to buy the bullshit again from the press. Why were the polls so wrong, by the way?
I know.
But the reason Rory Stewart hasn't got a clue, people say, you should listen to Rory because he's travelled. That's what they've always gone about his travel.
I fucking travelled.
I'll tell you where he hasn't travelled enough. That's America. Yeah. Why did we know Trump was going to win? Because we both lived there for a long time and we know America.
Yeah,
right. I knew he was going to win because that's what Americans are like. In the end, Americans don't fucking take bullshit.
They also care a fuck of a lot about money, because in America you don't have the benefit culture that you have here. If you don't fucking work, you don't get paid. If you fucking go on unemployment, you get 6 months and then you got to get a job, otherwise you've got no money living on the fucking street. So there isn't that kind of background that we have here of people who are like, oh well, you know, we must help everybody because, you know, we can. And I don't mind. I mean, if I hear one more fucking rich cunt going, I don't mind paying more tax, you know, public service is going to get better, fuck off. I don't want to pay more tax, I want to pay less tax. And I want the public services to get better by fucking making them more efficient, not by giving them more fucking money, you stupid fucking cunts.
Yeah, not by giving them more fucking money to waste on fucking net zero.
Or to give to fucking doctors so they can buy themselves a new Ferrari.
Exactly. You know. Now, Trump's victory, right? Yeah. This is clearly 100% America's Brexit moment.
It is.
We had our Brexit moment in 2016 and we blew it because the political establishment managed
then tried to stop it.
Trigger an affront to democracy.
Yeah.
They managed to quash it, and even when we did get it through, we don't go for it enthusiastically enough. Now, in America, that won't happen. What we're seeing there, that is their Brexit moment, and better still, it is the death of this fucking ludicrous wokery that still afflicts this country.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you a story, right? This is where Biden and Kamala Harris didn't understand the people and where they got lost. They drowned in this mad fucking wokery that people don't understand. Right. I think Bastille Day in France, I think it's July the 14th. July the 14th, I do believe. Right. So, Joe Biden sent two of America's representatives to the French ambassador's residence in Washington, where they were celebrating Bastille Day, right? America's official representatives.
Yeah.
It was a guy, Joe Biden's transgender assistant health secretary, Dr. Rachel, or Richard to his parents, Levine.
Right. And I've seen pictures of him.
And the fucking idiot in fucking bloke in a dress.
Right.
He's got like this sort of navy uniform and then a fucking dress. What a cunt. And also, guess who went with Health Secretary Dr. Rachel Levine?
Yeah.
The newly hired Department of Energy employee, Sam Brinton.
Right.
Sam is a non-binary drag queen with they, them pronouns. He's like this bald wanker,
right?
With a fucking miniskirt on and high heels. A bloke, obviously. And a cock. They both got cocks, obviously. those were America's official representatives at the French ambassador's Bastille Day party in Washington. Now, again, looking at those two absolute tosspots, what do you think people in the Rust Belt think about this? This is
fucking embarrassing.
You know, Democrats are supposed to be the party for people in the Rust Belt, for the blue-collar people of America, the very fine, hard-working, working class of America. And let me tell you, you know this, those people will not even understand why two blokes in fucking dresses are representing their country at an important diplomatic event.
In fact, worse than that, not only will they not understand it, they won't want them to do it. They won't want them.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's implicit. Fucking, yeah. You know, oh, they're furious. Yeah, furious. Yeah. Furious.
What the fuck? And you're absolutely talking absolute shit. And also, I mean, again, even Joe Biden is quite, you know, I spoke quite conciliatory speech that he made yesterday, which was probably a good thing.
Because he's pleased.
Because he's happy.
He's happy.
You know, we can have a smooth transition. He didn't do any of that. I'm serious. Yeah. You know, I'm going to kick his ass. He didn't do any of that shit. He seems to get like that more in the afternoon when he's going to be grumpy. But even he was saying, you know, the economy's recovering, the economy, and then he sort of corrected himself and went, oh, I know some people are still struggling. Because you can't tell people the economy's doing well if they're fucking, losing money. They know they haven't got as much money as they used to have.
Yeah.
They know they only cost more. You can't keep telling people, oh, but the economy's doing great.
Yeah. Let me tell you something. You know, in retrospect, talking about turning points in this election campaign is actually bollocks, because I don't think there were any turning points.
No.
We now know, despite what the pollsters were lying to us about, that actually Trump was storming it from day one. However...
Yeah, because there was at no point during election night was anything good coming from the Democrats. You
know, No. The pollsters were a disgrace. They're worse than ours. But anyway... So, you know, you get these key moments, they said, that, you know, where Donald surged ahead and that propelled him to victory. You know, one was the brilliant McDonald's stunt, the garbage truck stunt.
Yeah.
Now, one of the really big moments, they said, was when Joe Biden, inadvertently, accidentally, during a sort of video call that was recorded on the night, Kamala was having a rally.
Yes.
When he was caught, when he said, the only garbage I see are Donald Trump's supporters.
Right.
And people, so the Democrats moved to go, oh, he misspoke. He actually was referring to that comedian
who made a nasty joke
about Puerto Rico. No. They actually tried, when he said Donald Trump's supporters, they tried to put an apostrophe between the R and the S.
Right.
Supporter apostrophe. Yeah. Fucking liars.
Right.
Anyway. So they tried, oh, no, he misspoke. No, you were misunderstanding what he said. But it didn't wash everybody.
No, nobody fucking believed it.
Because it was, of course, the Democrats' deplorables moment.
Right.
When Hillary lost the 2016 election to Trump, was when she called his supporters deplorables. You can't insult the voters.
No.
Anyway, so he Biden calls Trump's supporters garbage. Democrats, oh, no, he misspoke, da-da-da. Did you notice... No apology from Joe Biden.
No.
So people said, oh, that senile old git. Well, let me tell you, Joe Biden is a senile old git, but he has moments of sentience.
Yes.
He did that fucking deliberately.
Yeah, I wonder about that.
He did it deliberately. He's thrilled about this. And actually...
Because also the timing of it was, again... It very easy to telegraph. He could have easily known, or he could have easily found out that it was right in the middle of her set piece speech, which totally took the fucking shine off anything that she was going to say, and it became a story.
And fucking hell was she useless.
But apparently there's a massive fucking witch hunt going on now for who they're going to blame.
George Clooney.
Yeah, George Clooney apparently is his fault. Some people are trying to blame Nancy Pelosi. Some people are trying to blame Joe Biden, which I think is off the scale of mad. Nobody's trying to blame Kamala, because actually, at the end of the day, it looks like she was kind of almost a Manchurian candidate, that somebody had gone, right, you're going to do it. And she probably thought, well, all right then, but you sure? And then go, oh yeah, don't worry, we'll make sure you win. And of course, she didn't win, and now she'll be forever known as a fucking loser. Somebody said to me the other day...
Big loser.
She'll be like Mike Dukakis. Nobody will remember
Michael Dukakis, I remember. But a few others do.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, she got the worst Democrat thrashing since 1988.
Right.
It was an absolute annihilation. And when you say Manchurian candidate, I think the word you're looking for is crap. Crap candidate. And they should have had a primary. They should.
Yep.
I'll tell you who told them quietly from day one, don't put Kamala into the frame, Barack Obama.
Yeah.
He said, if you put her in, we will lose.
Yeah.
And actually...
And it took 2 days to get him to be persuaded enough to actually come out and endorse her.
Yeah,
he didn't do it straight away.
And even when he did do it, I don't think it was very enthusiastic.
No.
He was against Kamala, and he's a smart guy. I don't think he was... what he said was, we stand a better chance with Joe than her. And actually, I think he's right. I think Joe would have lost, but he wouldn't have lost this bad.
No.
She was...
And he might have had a chance. I mean...
She was fucking useless.
She really was. You know... Well, look at the end, the final fucking... Where she said, you know, but you know, in darkness... We see more stars.
Light the billion stars.
Light a billion stars.
The light of Aptima.
What the fuck are you talking about?
But that's exactly... See, in that... it was actually a passive-aggressive speech.
Yes.
Because she kicked off with, oh, we're going to hand over peacefully, not like that other guy last time.
Yeah.
Well, look, the 2020, whatever you want to say... There were contested states. Mm. It was close enough for Donald Trump to say, hang on, I'm not fucking sure about this. It was close.
And he's still not fucking sure,
yeah,
by the way.
No, good for him. It was close.
Yeah.
So you can contest it. You know, the Democrats now and Kamala go, unlike him, we're going to preside over a peaceful transition.
Mm.
Well, what other fucking choice do they have? They can hardly contest this result, can they? So they're trying to make a virtue out of absolute fuck all.
No.
And also, it's churlish and peevish and jealous.
Yeah.
You know, that's what it all is. Yeah, well, you know, we're still better than them because we're going to do a nice, peaceful transition. You're not fucking better. You're fucking useless. And do you know what worries me about her mad wokery, the Democrats' mad wokery, is that while Donald Trump will stamp it out, good for him and thank God, it will still prosper over here because we've got cunt karma and the crew from hell in charge.
Yes, that's the trouble. But of course, you know, it may well be, I think, and this is me being optimistic now, that Trump actually does create a wave of sort of right-wing populism across Europe, you know, because there's already, it's already halfway there.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Starmer, when he appeared at the fucking meeting yesterday in Budapest, it turned out that he was about the only one there who was in any way left-wing, you know.
Yeah.
In Soho.
But by the way, the pop fact, I looked this up yesterday, nobody quite noticed it in all the excitement. Fucking hell, the migrants have been pouring over this week. Do you know how many...
3,000 last fortnight,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, in the last 6 days, 1,411.
Yeah.
We're recording this on Friday, and the last number we got was Wednesday, 307.
Right.
Every fucking day, hundreds, and that fucking idiot Starmer is in Budapest going, we're going to smash the paper smuggling guys. Well, you can't. That won't make any fucking difference, you fucking idiot.
I know. It's very important, Ego. Very important.
Cooperation.
That we have to have a structure of laws so that we can prosecute people. Well, no, you have to fucking, you know...
Stop the migrants.
Yeah.
Stop the migrants.
Have you seen that story today that we've been doing, which is that London Assembly, not content with giving migrants free fucking houses, free fucking clothes, free food, free money, they now want to give them free travel around London.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know about you, but, you know, I used to spend, I don't spend it so much now because I use the car a bit more, but I used to spend a good 200, 250 quid a month just using the underground buses. And I don't even live that far away, right?
I'm always on the fucking
tube. So you probably spend an awful lot more than I do.
Yeah, I'm always on the fucking tube.
And it's a fucking, you know, it's a £300 a month scenario.
Yeah, exactly. If you're going to work every day, and, I can afford it, but a lot of people
struggle.
A lot of people struggle with it, and those people who struggle with it, I'll tell you what they're called. They're called Londoners,
yes.
British people who live here. So these
people,
yeah, these people, yeah, British hard-working British Londoners who live in London, they'll still have to pay. But these fuckers who came across the Channel illegally, and in my view, have no right to be here, according to the absolute fuckwit Khan and his ludicrous London Assembly, they'll get free travel.
Yeah. What do you think
about that?
A great message from somebody today who said, you know, these are supposed to be people who've traversed half the fucking world, right?
Yeah,
They've fucking crossed North Africa, crossed the Mediterranean, up fucking Italy, around fucking the south coast of France, up to fucking Normandy, across the Channel, into fucking Dover, get up to London, can't walk to fucking Holland Park.
No, sorry, mate.
I think
these people can manage to walk from Piccadilly Circus to Leicester Square, for fuck's sake. But it is that, you see, that is the kind of thinking that prevailed.
And then if you say to any lefty, what the fuck is this all about? Oh, don't you want to help them? They're desperate people.
Oh, really?
They've come here from very, very far away, and they're fleeing war and persecution. Well, it doesn't mean they get a free ride on the fucking 381.
Yeah, they're human beings. Yeah, they're foreign human beings, and they should fuck off back to where they came from, frankly. I mean, you know, what a fucking joke. But this is the kind of thinking that prevailed under Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. You know, this ludicrous, you know, fuck normal white Americans.
By the
Americans,
sounds of it, they're too busy fucking cross-dressing in the fucking White House.
So it is that. And I've got to do this tonight on my show, because we covered this fucking thing last night, and, you know, people were furious.
Yeah.
And this is the angle I'm going to take, because among the people who voted for this free travel for asylum seekers were Tories. Yeah. Tories. Now, if Kemi Badenoch, the new Tory leader, is to return the Tory party to the conservative values it's completely forgotten about, she should go to those Tories and say, on the London Assembly, and say, you are hereby expelled from the party.
Right.
Fuck off.
Absolutely.
Fuck off.
Yeah, exactly right. I was watching, actually, very funny, speaking of fuck off, Andrew Tate video today, because of all these fucking Americans who were saying they were going to fuck off out of leave America, right? And he's like, let's just have a look at some of these people. It was quite well done. And he just put their pictures up, like, Alec Baldwin, fuck off. You know, Barbara Streisand hasn't had a fucking hit record since 1931. Fuck off. You know, fucking, you know, and it just went on. Beyonce,
Harrison Ford, the Living Dead.
Yeah, the Living Dead, fuck off. I mean, it's ridiculous, right?
Yeah.
As if anybody gives a shit whether these people live in fucking America or not.
Yeah, yeah, but they're all coming here is the problem.
I don't think they'll like it here, though. We haven't got any fucking air conditioning, nothing works, and the fucking place is overrun with migrants. Bit like America.
Yeah, because it's a socialist fucking paradise here, except it's not a paradise. Mm. But these celebrities, it's fucking funny, right? You go back in history, you will find that celebrity endorsements have never done any presidential candidate any good at all. The only people that these endorsements benefit are the celebrities themselves, because it gives them the chance to say, I believe in people and human beings, and I'm lovely and liberal and I care about others, neglecting to say that, unlike most Americans, I can afford to.
Yes, exactly right, because they haven't got any fucking migrants sleeping at the end of their street.
And by the way, in Hollywood, you know, tariffs and taxes and films and studios, they're shitting themselves now because Donald Trump has let it be known he's coming for them.
Yeah.
So all the studio chiefs are now saying, oh, you know, I think Donald, you know, he can't really punish us just because Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he can. Oh, yes, he can.
Yeah. Did you see the speech by Steve Bannon as well?
Yeah.
Steve Bannon was like, you know, the thing about, and he went to jail, right? Because he was done for contempt of Congress.
I like Steve.
And he's a curious character, but I mean, he's fucking good.
I like him.
And he said, Donald Trump, the thing about Donald Trump, he's a forgiving man. He's a nice man. He said, I'm not. And he's like, I'm fucking going to get to the bottom of this. I'm going to find out where the fucking hell they started with this Democrat fucking witch hunt of ordinary people who have been ruined because they've been taken, dragged through the fucking courts.
Yep.
They've had to pay for lawyers, they've lost their houses, lost their families, lost everything that they've ever had.
Some
of them have gone to jail. And, you know, the idea that Joe Biden then gets up and goes, oh, you know, it's time to, you know, cool the temperature down and it's time for everybody to get along. Well, what about all the fucking people whose lives you've ruined, you cunt? And what about the fucking people whose houses were raided by the FBI? And what about the people who are still, to this day, fucking recovering financially from being clobbered and being made impossible to work anywhere?
You know, old Bannon's an operator. You know, he's a pretty cunning guy, and he's sure done. I'm sure he's done a lot of things that are slightly, shall we say, underhand.
Yeah.
Who of us haven't? But he went to jail because he's right wing, and the Democrats were in power.
Yeah,
they just
no question.
Yeah, he was a political prisoner. And no wonder he's furious.
Yeah.
And I fucking hope he gets them. But he's right about Trump. You know, Trump has sort of let it be known, I'm coming for all those guys. He won't.
He probably won't.
But because in the end, thing about Trump is, you know, in many ways he's absurd, you know, extraordinary.
But he's funny, though.
He's funny.
He's funny. I think you forgive an awful lot for being funny.
But he's a clever guy.
Yeah.
And he understands what it means to be president.
Yeah.
And what you don't do when you're president is waste your time going for two bit little Democrats who gave you a hard time when you weren't in power. He'll get on with the main business of being president. Mm. And start deporting fucking illegal migrants. He says, I mean, officially about 10 million came in across the southern border while Biden was in charge because he let them come in, causing a humanitarian catastrophe, thousands of people dying. Do you know how many illegal migrants came across the southern border during Trump's last presidency? No. 2.5 million.
Really?
During Biden's presidency, officially 10 million, but they think probably 20 million.
Right.
And
about 10 times as many.
Yeah. And they don't know who the fuck they are or where they are. And, you know, going back to talking about key moments, right, I still say that I think one of the key moments was my favourite bit ever during the TV debate. They're eating the dogs.
Yeah, right.
They're eating the cats.
Right.
They're eating the pets of the people who live there. And if you look at that clip,
right.
I played it last night on my show. I said, never mind what Donald Trump is saying, and we'll get back to that in a minute. Have a look at Kamala Harris's face.
Yeah,
it's a portrait of elitist condescension,
yes, exactly.
Patronizing. Oh, you silly, silly man. Mm. Now. There is some evidence that maybe they ate cats and dogs.
Well, it's not so much that they're eating them. The suggestion is, from my understanding, that the Haitians, who are the people we're talking about, actually use them in sort of animal sacrifices.
Yeah, but they do eat them as well.
They might eat them as well.
Well, look, this is the story. Whether or not they actually ate cats and dogs, they were fucking eating ducks from the park.
Yeah.
No doubt about that. Here's the story, though. That was about the town of Springfield, Ohio. 58,000 people lived there, or at least they used to. And under Joe Biden's migrant patriation scheme, they suddenly had 22,000 Haitian immigrants foisted upon them. The social problems in that city are extraordinary.
Yeah.
It's like one of our fucking towns, you know, just all these Haitians wandering around. Loads of stories of them going into the park and taking the geese and the ducks and eating them. And when, you know, the various media in America got in touch with Springfield City Hall, by the way, Springfield City Hall is unlikely to say, yeah, it's true, our town is a shithole. And they said, are they eating the...
They said there was no evidence.
No, that's right. It was
quite careful.
It was the police, that's right, the police.
Yeah.
That's right. No, the Springfield City Hall said there is no evidence that they're eating the cats.
Which is not
saying
it's not happening.
And the more pertinently, the police said, and check this out, this was their quote, we have no credible reports of cat and dog eating. So you have got reports then.
Yeah.
You have got reports. Now, okay, that may, the whole eating dogs and cats thing may or may not be true.
Yeah.
But it's a sort of pastiche that summed up America's migrant problem, and millions of Americans that spoke to millions of Americans, and they went, fuck this.
And
fuck
also,
this.
Like most.
So he's a clever guy.
And like most immigrant populations in countries like Britain and in countries like America, the actual proper legal immigrants do not want illegal migrants. They're not fucking keen on them. They don't like the fact that people are coming into the country and staying because it took them a fucking long time to get into the country and live there and be able to work there as well. You couldn't do it on a student visa. You know, you can't just fucking walk into a country and say, now I live here.
Yeah.
Right?
And by the way.
But the people who've done it properly have spent a lot of fucking time and money on it.
Yeah.
The last thing they want is fucking 20,000 Venezuelans living next door.
And by the way, what is the community, statistically this is now proved, who are the most against illegal migration? Latinos.
Yes.
It is the descendants of people who probably came in illegally.
Absolutely.
I mean, yeah, I used to live in LA. I know all about illegal Latinos, Mexicans.
Well, they're all cutting people's garbage.
Fucking hardworking people. Oh, yeah, I had a squad of Mexicans working.
Well, I used to see them. I remember when I was last time I was in LA, and you'd see like a pickup truck with a load of Mexicans just sitting openly in the back of it, right?
Yeah.
Driving down fucking 405, going off to do some work.
Yeah, and what happens every day in LA? There's a couple of pickup points. One is on the corner of Melrose and Santa Monica, a big shopping mall. And if you go down there at sort of 7-8 in the morning, there are hundreds of Mexicans there, standing there. So, you know, for example, funny enough, when we moved home, so I go down, or you don't have to book removal, but you just go down to Melrose and Santa Monica, and you go, I've got work for five people. Five guys come with you. They work their fucking asses off, all for about, like, you know, $50 a day each. So, you know, the LA economy, California economy, revolves around illegal Mexican migrants. But my point is, the community that is most against illegal immigration are the Latinos.
Yeah.
And so all those demographics that the
and none of whom, by the way, cared about the bloke's joke about Puerto Rico.
Of course they did.
Which was the other big fucking story. Yeah, well, the Democrats tried to make something.
I mean, there's something in that. I mean, Puerto Rico has a massive garbage problem.
Yeah. You know,
it's like India. They don't really collect it there.
No.
Yeah, it was a shit joke, actually. It wasn't funny.
But, no.
But they didn't care. The black community voted for Trump. A lot of women voted for Trump.
A lot of women, yeah. The women who were supposedly not able. And also, look what he's done. His first appointment.
He's a woman.
A woman, the first ever woman chief of staff in the history of the White House. Yeah. So, you know, the guy's a fucking genius, in my view.
Yeah. By the way, I guess we're probably running out of time.
Yeah,
but I like.
We've got 40 minutes in
there. Okay, well, just a last point worth making. You know, all the Trump derangement syndrome, all these fucking lefties melting down. Oh, God,
I can't sleep.
Yeah, I can't. But have you seen the women going on sex strike?
Yes.
So they kind of blame Trump's victory on men. You know, he's a sexist.
Yes,
sexist
men are ganging up on women.
So there, all these women are now going on a sex strike saying they won't date men, they won't have sex with them, they won't have their children. I've seen a lot of these women, and let me tell you, that will dovetail very nicely with men's plans for them. Fucking hideous old boilers.
Right. Also,
you don't have to go on a sex strike, you fucking ugly cow.
Yeah, you're already on one.
You're already on one by order of all men.
I had a fucking great, just at the end of the show, a guy fucking messaged in saying, he said, I'm frantically trying to get my wife's nationality switched over to America so that she can take part in the sex ban. It's fucking brilliant. Anyway, that's it for now, because there's nothing else to talk about.
American special for you.
American special. Fucking Trump is in. He's going to be fucking brilliant. It's going to be fantastic. The next 4 years is going to be fucking super.
God bless America.
Also, we'll take our minds off those fuckwits running our country, all of whom seem to have called him a fucking misogynist, rapist bastard at some point.
Yeah.
Well done, guys.
Yeah.
You fucking
morons. I've got another name for him. Mr. President.
Mr. President, you cunts.
Ta-da, fuckers.
Wankers.